UK Premium Carpet and Upholstery Care has provided not just clean carpet, but a healthy carpet. Bonded and insured K&K has brought quality care to your home with a proven safe truck-mounted hot water extraction process that is pH-balanced, allergen-free, and safe for the environment. Tile, grout, heat transfers, and water damage care also available. For your free estimate, call K&K Premium Carpet and Upholstery, 303-237-4655. Ask about the KHNC discount on your first cleaning. That's 303-237-GO-KK. Through no fault of their own, many people may be hurting this holiday season. Do what you can to help by donating food, clothing, toys, or money to your local church, civic group, or favorite charity. Let's make this a nice holiday for everyone. That's from Terry and her fine family and staff at Teresa's Not Just Heroes at 141 East 4th Street in Loveland. Call 663-9594. That's 663-9594. Or stop in for great food and great atmosphere and a great staff. They're on the air because they care and are wishing everyone a safe, happy, and healthy holiday season.
Article 4. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrant shall be issued but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the places to be searched and the persons or things to be seized.
Dan here at the American Freedom Network, and our special guest this morning, as always, is Joel Skousen. And good morning, Joel.
Good morning, Dr. Stan.
And so what are the major issues we're going to be talking about this morning?
Well, let's start off with the health care compromise that the Democrats proudly announced, claiming they've reached a tentative deal that will allow the Senate health care reform bill to move forward to a vote before Christmas. This only happened, of course, after locking some 10 Senate dissenters in a room with Obama arm twisters until they agreed to go along. I believe there were, as well as the threats that are always given in these cases. There were probably special benefits promised in the districts for those who went along. But the biggest deception of all to emerge from these secret sessions was the claim that Democrats were going to drop the public option. I don't really believe that, but I believe they simply built in various provisions to the bill to guarantee a single public provider system later on. And, of course, the devil's going to be in the details, and I mean that literally as well as figuratively this time. Essentially, there are three, what I call the sneaky three proposals that are put into this bill or this version. Number one, expanding Medicare so that people near retirement age from 55 to 64, that means 10 years before normal retirement, can qualify for coverage if their employees don't offer coverage and they also pay a premium. Number two, negotiators have seriously discussed having the federal government oversee and negotiate details of plans offered by private companies. And three, they've considered having a government backup plan as a trigger to be invoked if the new system doesn't meet key goals such as near universal coverage and better affordability. So let me explain to you, your listeners, what this means. Number one, offering Medicare to the uninsured 10 years prior to normal benefits will simply make Medicare the de facto public option. The problem is the Democrats are intent on cutting Medicare benefits and payments to doctors as initial cost-cutting feature, and they'll have to add them back in, of course, plus much more once Medicare's rules are enlarged. Now, keep in mind, as you pointed out yesterday, that Medicare is already bankrupt, and as any public option that forces in new participants will have to pay some sort of premium, but it'll be a discounted and subsidized premium that won't pay for the increased burden of the additional numbers and benefits on the system. In the second portion, to oversee and negotiate details of private plans means, of course, eventual total control over these plans. This is typical of Fabian socialism, where everything is technically privately owned but controlled by regulators. And this is, in essence, will, of course, force companies into a cost-push-squeeze. The government will mandate the government private plans cover all prior conditions and accept all applicants and make it affordable. under a premium cap. And those are exactly the trigger elements of the third portion, which means that if it doesn't meet affordability or universal coverage, then the public option kicks in. So they basically guarantee in all three that they're going to get a public option without saying so, and that's a major deception.
Well, I think people have to realize that government lies. It does it intentionally. I lived through this, you know, in 1965 when Medicare came in. They promised that, I mean, all the doctors said, this won't work. They said, of course it will work. We will give you usual and customary fees. We'll pay the doctors whatever their fees are. And they said to the hospitals, and we will pay your fees exactly what they are. Trust us. I mean, trust us, this system will work. Well, once they got the doctors in, and they, of course they began to regulate fees and gradually cut them back and cut them back and cut them back to the point where doctors are making only a fraction today of what they were making in 1965 under a free enterprise system. They've done the same thing to the hospitals. They promised to pay them usual and customary fees like everybody else gets. And what do they do today? They pay them according to DRGs, diagnostic groups, and if you have a heart attack, why, the hospital gets, say, $5,000, whether they're a day or whether they're 100 days, and as a result, the hospital's going to get you out in a day and send you to a rehab hospital, because the only way they can even meet their expenses, you know, is to get you out of the hospital. So they lie, and they say one thing, and then they do another. And what do you do once this thing is law? And, of course, as we mentioned yesterday, Medicare is a Ponzi scheme. They run out of money to have more money coming in than going out over a year ago. And they are bankrupt. And, they, of course, they went to the trust fund because that's how they're going to keep this thing going. They've got this massive trust fund. And what do they find? IOUs, because all the money's been spent. So then, of course, they have to go to the Treasury, and that's part of the $5 billion a day they have to borrow. They have to borrow money to pay the trust fund, Medicare trust fund, so that they can keep the scam going. Why should we believe anything they say? And you can't, because they are inherently evil. They know exactly what they're doing. Once they get this thing through, then, of course, they're going to change it. So go right ahead, Joel.
Well, certainly politicians are never going to dare pay for these benefits with tax increases or honest premiums reflecting the high cost of health or insurance-driven health care. And I want to be very clear that probably the primary reason that medical care has risen and become so costly is because of insurance. When people are not having to pay directly, and when businesses have been given inducements to pay for medical care, they think it's free. So there's no incentive for people to take care of themselves to avoid bad eating habits and bad health habits that lead to chronic disease and other things like that. So the system, frankly, cannot be fixed by more insurance. The only way health care will improve in the United States is by making people more responsible, and that means they have to pay a much higher proportion out of pocket, so that they're not so they have every incentive to stay out of the healthcare system. And this system, of course, is going in just the opposite direction. Well, in another story today, a jury failed to convict FBI agent provocateur. For years, evangelical minister Hal Turner was a prime rabble-rouser among the Christian right, always planting disinformation and bogus stories about imminent threats of martial law and the takeover of the dollar by the Amero.
Hold there just a moment. We'll be right back. I want everybody to get into Hal Turner.
Have a wedding, New Year's party, business conference, seminar, or holiday event coming up and can't seem to find that place that brings affordability and excellence together? Look no further. Celebrate the season with the redesigned Sable Landing Event Center, now open for your special occasions. Easily accessible and conveniently located 1.5 miles east of I-25 off Highway 119 at the Longmont Firestone exit. Sable Landing will delight your senses and impress your guests with stunning holiday lights, a peaceful garden courtyard, and beautifully lit fountain. Attention to detail and outstanding service is yours. Don't wait. It's peak season, so reserve your place now. Call for your private showing and ask how KHNC listeners can save hundreds on booking your wedding and special event now. 303-651-6427. That's Affordable Excellence at Sable Landing Event Center. That's 303-651-6427.
Just a good old boy.
Hi, I'm Eric Cederstrup. For over a decade, I've been the CEO, shipping clerk, and janitor of the Patriot Trading Group. And in that time, I've made friends with tens of thousands of like-minded individuals all over this country, most like me, trying to raise a family, run a business, and make sense out of a world gone mad. I'm proud of the fact that through stock bubbles, housing bubbles, and financial chaos, our customers are prospering and doing very well. By keeping our prices fair and our service fast, we find that 80% of our customers not only reorder, but they tell their friends. Don't be fooled by hype and high pressure. Do business with a company you can trust. Call the Patriot Trading Group at 1-800-951-0592 or check out our website at allamericangold.com. You'll be treated with honesty and respect. You have my word on it. I'm Eric Cederstrom, CEO, shipping clerk, and janitor.
Making your way, the only way they know how.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the American Freedom Network, and I think it's very important that people understand that the FBI and other government agencies have people planted at every level of our society to create a planned opposition. The Aryan Resistance Army, the radical right-wing extremist racist organizations like the Aryan Resistance Army, financed by the FBI. The militia movement in America, financed by the FBI. The Communist Party, when it was active, very active, financed by the FBI or other government agency. They finance the Klan. They finance the Christian Identity Movement. I have repeatedly, had people try to entrap me into making statements like what they're doing videos and saying, well, Stan, certainly there's no way we're going to get out of this without taking up arms against the government, is there? And, of course, the statement is, that is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. Why? Because they got you saying that on film, then they control you, they own you. This is what happened to Randy Weaver. Of course, they had certainly infiltrated the people at Waco. They had their agents at Waco who were working there, and one of them was trying to inveigle his way into there. Who knows who David Koresh really was? Certainly, we have to understand that they've infiltrated the conservative movement. And one perfect example of this fellow named Hal Turner, who was always out there making ridiculous statements and certainly trying to inflame people against the government. But he overstepped his bounds at one point where he said the judge should be killed and gave out the judge's address. Well, what happened to Hal Turner when he was put on trial? Joel? Joel, are you there? Joel, did we lose Joel? I hope we didn't. Either that or we lost me, but under any circumstances, Joel, are you there? Well, I hope our producer will get Joel back on the line because I wanted to hear. But this is Hal Turner was going out and making all sorts of ridiculous statements for a long period of time, trying to inflame and frighten people into the conservative movement. And then, of course, when he was arrested, his lawyers came forward and said, look, he's always been an FBI informant. He was actually paid by the FBI to get on the talk radio and to make all of these statements. And so the trial went forward, and I don't know why. I wish we had Joel here so that we could find out the details of what happened. Well, if you're out in the radio audience, give me a call, 877-274-7524. That's 877-274-2547524. I just need to know I'm actually on the radio since I... Oh, here we go. Okay, who's that?
And I'm back on Dr. Stan.
Okay, go right ahead. What happened to Hal Turner?
Well, Hal Turner, as I was explaining, was the proclaimed evangelical minister with a radio show and following that became... he was always planting disinformation and bogus stories about imminent threats of martial law and the takeover of the dollar by the Amero. It turned out he was a paid agent provocateur by the FBI tasked with fomenting right-wing radicalism so the government could be justified in labeling us all as domestic terrorists. Well, Judge Donald Walker in his trial declared a mistrial in his federal trial in Brooklyn as the jury deadlocked 9-3 in favor of acquittal. Turner faces a possible 10-year prison sentence on charges that he threatened to kill three federal judges in remarks posted on to his blog while he was on the payroll as a provocateur, payroll of the FBI. Assistant U.S. Attorney William Hogan, who was heading the prosecution, called Turner a domestic terrorist. And of course, the federal case relied entirely on the testimony of six federal agents. But if, as William Norman Grigg said, if Hogan were serious about his description of Turner as a domestic terrorist, his next act would be, or should be, to indict the very FBI witnesses who had induced him to be that kind of a terrorist. In any case, his crime consisted of quoting Thomas Jefferson's observations that the Tree of Liberty must be replenished from time to time by the blood of tyrants and patriots, and applying those words to the three federal judges whose crimes against liberty and decency were much graver than any of those connected to King George III. William Grigg notes that Turner was not reined in, much less arrested in jail, for openly urging criminal violence against innocent people of various ethnic and religious backgrounds, as his handlers had instructed him to do. Instead, he was slapped in irons and put behind bars for the purported crime of using Revolutionary War-style invectives when decrying the crimes of sanctified personages who occupy the federal bench. I always love how William Norman Grigg puts things in such punchy style. He's very good with the English language.
Yes, he really is.
He says the last full measure of usefulness the feds could wring from Turner would be to convict him for using political speech in a case that could be used to criminalize emphatic, effective criticism of our rulers. If Turner actually ends up being convicted and sent to prison, his career would essay a remarkable trajectory. He began as an asset of the security organs and might wind up as a political prisoner. I thought that was very well put.
Well, I would certainly not have any sympathy at all for Hal Turner if he was put behind bars the rest of his life. He's a traitor to America and everything that you and I believe in.
Yes, these are the most dangerous type of people who are wolves in sheep's clothing.
I think it's so important that people understand that our government is creating a controlled opposition. They're controlling extremism. They're pushing anti-Semitism. They've got their agents out there saying it's all the Jews. Don't you know it's all the Jews? Or it's all the Jesuits. Or it's all the Vatican. And trying to incite hatred in America and turn American against American. And they're telling the blacks, it's all the whites. Whitey hates you. Whitey's opposing you. You can't get ahead because of Whitey. And, of course, they're trying to turn the Hispanic against the white and the white against the Hispanic. And they're just wonderful at what they do, the masters of deceit. And they're working at the highest levels of our government, of the invisible government, not our government, the government that we cherish and is adherence to the Constitution, but we have an invisible government made of a very evil men. And I'm just so glad this story came out, and I think it should be trumpeted, and every American needs to understand that the invisible government is creating an artificial opposition so that they will have someone to hate. But Google right ahead.
Well, I think you're absolutely right. I noted several years ago in the World Affairs Brief when I was watching a television news video about the Ku Klux Klan in the South, rabble-rousing people, and none of them had Southern accents. These were Northerners. And obviously these had been, you know, brought down from the North by federal agents to infiltrate and take over the Ku Klux Klan to make sure that we don't get over racism in the United States. Sure. And it's the same thing with La Raza and other radical Latino groups. They have federal funding, you know, and they get all kinds of good press, and they're brought into the Obama administration. I mean, high-level people, this is just unconscionable. When you look at what happened, for example, in Flight 297, I guess, this year, this Air Tran flight, which had, you know, 11 Muslim people on board who were just playing havoc with the stewardesses and not turning off their cell phones and walking around and using threatening language to people. And, of course, there was some disinformation about that. The person who posted the original email, a guy named Petruna, who worked for a division of NASA, ended up falsifying several things in his report. And but the Air Trans, for example, you know, when I finally finished my investigation of the thing, had downplayed this, had taken the Muslim, you know, the pilot had turned the plane around, taken them back to the gate, the Muslims were taken off board. At no time for an hour when all of this things were taking place, you know, did security people or the airline ever make an announcement to the passengers about what was happening, and everybody was just terribly upset about these, you know, Muslim people. And then, to their astonishment, all but two of those Muslims got put back on the plane. After an hour of interrogation and checking their luggage, they put them back on the airplane. I mean, if you or I had refused to follow orders, we would have been marched off that plane and put on a no-fly list and have never been able to fly again. And yet, because of the five imams who sued everybody, including passengers and witnesses and the airlines, when they were acting up and had, you know, action taken against them, the airlines apparently are, you know, acting the political correct role of giving into any Muslims being upset so that they won't feel like they've been profiled.
Well, you know, when I read that story, Joe, my first thought was, I mean, maybe these were all actors. They got out of some place over in Brooklyn and put them into turbans and taught them a little Arabic because they want to create this atmosphere of fear. The enemy is the Muslims in the United States, and you know, we've got to have a more powerful government to protect us from these terrible Muslims, and it's all, I believe, a prelude leading up to our coming war with Iran. I believe it's coming. I believe everything is being done. The program is to hate and fear the Muslims, and after all, if you hate them and fear them, you got to kill them, and so it'll be all right when we kill a few million Muslims. So go right ahead.
Well, you know,
the story was just too pat. I mean, I've read it before. There was a book put out about 2 or 3 years ago with another similar incident, and it looked to me like it was all staged from the very beginning, and the FBI was right in on it.
You know, that's either, there's two possibilities. I don't buy into the possibility this was a dry run for a terrorist attack.
Oh, no.
I mean, you don't do a dry run by making yourself obnoxious and getting arrested. And that's, you know, what would have done had you, you know, and besides, you know, you don't just harass passengers if you're doing a dry run. I mean, it just doesn't make sense.
No.
But in any case, it was either they were put up to it in order to continue to cause airlines to be excessively permissive of this thing, which they did. The airline was excessively permissive about this. Or there was another explanation from someone who worked in the Middle East, and he said, look, this is fairly normal for Middle Easterners who fly on Middle Eastern aircraft. They don't abide by any of it. They refuse to be told or directed by a stewardess because of their low esteem for women. He says they walk around the cabin, they use their cell phones in the Middle Eastern airlines. And he said this could just be you know, bad etiquette on the part of some rough elements, and you know, in in the normal Muslim community. So it's either or. It's not a dry run for a terrorist attack. These people were too obvious and would have got their names, you know, on some list. But it certainly did not speak well of the TSA or the security establishment by letting these people back on the airplane. In fact, you know, about 10 of the normal passengers got off the airplane and refused to fly. In fact, and the entire flight crew got off and quit, basically said, we will not fly with these Muslims on that. And a new flight crew had to be brought in to take this airline to Houston. So this was a very bad example of TSA security. I mean, geez, they kick us, take our shoes off and our belts off, and yet they'll let Muslim pick this, harass the flight crew and disregard and let them back on the airplane. Now, I will say that they did not, once you get all of the stories from other passengers, they did not let in the ringleader of this group. He did not get back on the plane. So they did at least take some, but they never explained to the passengers what was going on. They never said anything to them for an hour. And that's just unconscionable, in my opinion.
We'll be back in just a moment with Joel Skousen right here at the American Freedom Factory.
With the pressures and excitement of the holidays, the likelihood of misusing or abusing drugs and alcohol increases. Practice moderation and common sense in celebrating the season at home or at parties, and especially behind the wheel on our roads or highways. That's from Restore Health and Counseling, serving Northeast Denver with complete substance abuse counseling for adolescents to adults and for private as well as professional drug, alcohol screening, and treatment and rehab. Visit Restore Health and Counseling at 4705 Paris Street in Denver. Visit them online at www.rhctherapy.com or call them at 303-373-1188. Have a wedding, New Year's party, business conference, seminar, or holiday event coming up and can't seem to find that place that brings affordability and excellence together? Look no further. Celebrate the season with the redesigned Sable Landing Event Center, now open for your special occasions. Easily accessible and conveniently located 1.5 miles east of I-25 off Highway 119 at the Longmont Firestone exit. Sable Landing will delight your senses and impress your guests with stunning holiday lights, a peaceful garden courtyard, and beautifully lit fountain. Attention to detail and outstanding service is yours. Don't wait. It's peak season, so reserve your place now. Call for your private showing and ask how KHNC listeners can save hundreds on booking your wedding and special event now. 303-651-6427. That's affordable excellence at Sable Landing Event Center. That's 303-651-6427.
This is George Flynn. For several years, I was privileged to host the Words of Freedom show here on KHNC. If you've been wanting a Colorado or Wyoming concealed carry permit or non-resident Utah or Florida permit, please note that I've been a firearms instructor since the 1970s and currently conduct concealed carry classes under the banner of Self-Defense Guns. Please visit our website, selfdefenseguns.com, or call 970-622-2091. That's 970-622-2091.
No state shall enter into any treaty, alliance, or confederation, grant letters of marque or reprisal, coin money, emit bills of credit, make anything but gold and silver coin a tender in payment of debts, pass any bill of attainder, ex post facto law, or law impairing the obligation of contracts, or grant any title of nobility. Article 1, Section 10.
Whether you're in automotive, sporting goods, hardware, health, wellness, electrical, electronics, construction, carpet cleaning, legal, or animal care, and offer exceptional customer service and provide quality services or goods, you're honest, reliable, and professional. If you have a business, we have the customers. Let us put you in touch with our loyal, supportive, and dedicated listeners today. They're waiting to hear from you. It's inexpensive. It's effective. Call KHNC at 1-800-205-6245.
Well, I'm back here at the American Freedom Network, and our guest this morning, Joel Skousen from World Affairs Brief. And Joel, before we go on, I'd like you to tell our listeners how they can get in touch with you and perhaps get a copy and hopefully subscribe to World Affairs Brief. It's a wonderful source of information. I go to your website every morning after I go through my emails, and I certainly want to run down and see what the key stories are. Keeps me from having to surf the web. You do it all for us, so go right ahead.
Well, thank you, Dr. Stan. The World Affairs Brief is showcased on my website, worldaffairsbrief.com, and I encourage people to go there. They can read a synopsis of the current brief and get a free copy of the entire brief by emailing me at editor@worldaffairsbrief.com. They can also check on the latest news stories. My research staff does post the best of the conventional news stories each day, which saves, I know, your people and my and other people a lot of time not having to go to all the sites that we go to put together the news each day. Lots of archival materials, and I also have ways for people to check out the various books that I've written on preparedness. I have The Secure Home, which is a major tome on building high-security residences and retreats, everything from generation of power and electricity to high-security construction. I also have the book Strategic Relocation, North American Guide to Safe Places, and all of those can be viewed from my website, worldaffairsbrief.com.
Okay, well, I recommend the publication to everybody out there. Joel does a wonderful job of really looking behind the issues and giving you an excellent summary. So go right ahead.
Well, there's the issue now of TARP being used as a revolving bailout jobs fund. The Treasury keeps finding unique new uses for the never-ending TARP bailout fund. Now that the public has noticed that the $700 billion in previous injections only went to refill the bank accounts of the too-big-to-fail insiders, the Obama administration wants to use the remaining funds, whatever that means, to start a job creations fund, shades of Roosevelt's WPA. There's no shortage of promoters looking for government jobs fundings to push their own national agendas, like cross-country network of high-speed rail that's being proposed. No one doubts that high-speed rail is a cool proposition. The only trouble is it's never profitable. Even in Europe, which has the largest subsidized rail system in the world. Forbes magazine noticed as well, he said, something seems fishy about the timing in President Barack Obama's speech on job creation at the Brookings Institution on Tuesday, and a leak from the Treasury Department on Monday that losses in the government's TARP bailout program had been $200 billion less than expected. Here's the odd thing. It's been known for months that some of the TARP recipients have repaid their bailout cash, what has amounted to a 17% profit. At the same time, the government official's watchdog said in October that it will take years to assess all the costs associated with TARP. The smaller-than-expected TARP losses allowed the president's speech on job creation. This is a 1-2 punch from the Obama administration. And one has to ask, why now? It's probably no coincidence the president would like to see some of the remaining TARP money go to pay for a jobs bill. In total, of course, the Treasury claims, though non-transparent accounting, claims that approximately $317 billion is available for distribution. However, not all of this would be used to pay for a jobs program, which is expected to cost $170 billion. Republicans are united in their opposition to using TARP to pay for any additional programs. And, of course, that's strange since they were all for it when President Bush started the TARP program. It's funny how the establishment Republicans tend to do the right thing only when the Democrats are in charge, and when they're in charge, they do exactly what the Democrats do. Well, anyway, adding to the doubts about how much TARP money is available, the Dow Jones Newswire said more than a year after its launch, the impact and cost of the government's troubled asset relief program are unclear. Elizabeth Warren, the panel's chair, said in a conference call that while TARP has earned an annual rate of return of 70% on capital provided to firms that have since repaid the loan, it's too soon to estimate how much of the overall TARP investment taxpayers will recover, in part because the banks that have returned the money are the same banks that needed it least. but benefited the most. Isn't that interesting? The too big to fail banks, in fact, needed it least, and the monies never went to the banks that could have been saved that keep being turned over in by the FDIC to these too big to fail banks, who, of course, are the only ones that have any money to buy up the smaller banks because they've been given access to free government money. I mean, this is patently unfair. Next subject, of course, is the onslaught against Ron Paul's audit of the Fed, and this is tied to the previous article. Not only has the Fed hired a lobbying firm, ironically the same one that lobbied for Enron, but they have orchestrated a massive campaign by insider economists to put fear into the public about allowing an audit. I mean, these people don't want an audit. They would reveal just how much insider shenanigans, and they would reveal really where the TARP funds went where the additional $3 trillion went that the Fed simply gave as accounting journal entries to other nations and national banks and private banks around the world. These economists are not acting independently who are defending the Fed. They've all worked hand in hand with the Fed, who's the largest employer of economists in the United States. John Hilsenrath, the reporter, comments a group of academics is dialing up its call for lawmakers to drop plans to subject the Federal Reserve to scrutiny. The problem is, he said, of course, they have this typical call here. They warn of increased congressional oversight would harm the Fed's independence and ability to fight inflation. Now, there's that old false mantra of independence being touted as a reason to justify continued secrecy. The audit doesn't threaten the Fed's ability to fight inflation because the Fed has no intention of fighting inflation or protecting the dollar's value in the first place. Ron Paul's bill would do more than anything to expose the dangerous monetary profligacy of the Fed, which has threatened to destroy what value the dollar has left. Could you imagine, Dr. Sandin, the economist saying, the Fed's ability to fight inflation? Well, they're not fighting inflation. It would restrict the ability of the Fed's ability to make inflation, and that's what needs to be done. Well, in other news, the swine flu epidemic turned out to be an epidemic that wasn't and didn't exist. The swine flu scare is turning out to be just as bad as ClimateGate, far less severe than predicted. Even the establishment rag, the USA Today, had to admit as much, though the data they trotted out is still grossly distorted. They, of course, quote a study by Mark Lipsitch, the Harvard School of Public Health, and that's an establishment group if there ever was one, saying at the low end, the estimate suggests that for every 10% of the population who develop flu symptoms, it will be 1,500 to 2,700 deaths, 6 to 11,000 people in intensive care, and 36 to 78,000 hospitalizations. And then they go up to the high end, talking about 7,800 to 29,000 deaths, et cetera. And this is still way too high. The calculations represent a marked reduction from an August report by the President's Council of Advisors on Science and Technology. I believe they're just essentially lowering the data to save themselves the embarrassment covering for their prior manipulation of the data.
We'll be back in just a moment here.
If catastrophe struck, would your family be prepared? Are you confident you wouldn't react in a panic? Is there one place to get all of your emergency supplies? Ferris Survival encourages you to have confidence through preparation, not panic through crisis. Ferris Survival, located at 3366 South Broadway, is a professional, reputable, full-service business providing quality, realistic preparedness supplies at an affordable price. Go online, stop by, or call 303-781-0343. Ferris Survival.
The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots, biblically based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat and Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom, good Sabbath.
Wild Bird Center takes this opportunity to remind area drivers the safe operation of a motor vehicle and the consumption of alcohol do not mix. When you do take to the road this holiday season, take along the three C's of safety: caution, courtesy, and common sense. That's from your friends at the Wild Bird Center, where Candace Stewart and staff are always working to make our area a safer place for our youth. For the highest quality products and friendly service committed to education and conservation, call today, 758-7575. That's the Wild Bird Center at 1685 South Colorado Boulevard in Denver. Call 758-7575 and mention you heard this community announcement. They wish you all a happy season.
Bill of Rights, Article 1. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of a religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Article 2. A well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms, shall not be infringed.
Good morning, Dr. Stan here at American Freedom Network, and first our guest is Joel Townsend, and we're on our last segment. So, Joel, go right ahead.
Well, in other news, the vaccine manufacturers have been found guilty of bribing the World Health Organization. The Danish and Swedish newspapers say they have evidence there has been collusion between the vaccine manufacturers and the World Health Organization, intent on fomenting a phony flu epidemic that would in turn accrue massive profits for the big pharmaceutical companies that make these vaccines. The evidence is pretty conclusive. One of the major players in the WHO advisory group is Dr. Albert Oosterhuis, who has been subject to the Dutch government investigation. Dr. Oosterhuis is known as Dr. Flu, is the head of the Department of Virology at Erasmus University in Rotterdam. Oosterhuis is the co-founder of two biotech companies and promotes vaccines as solutions to pandemics. So no surprise there. Also no surprise that the FDA is ready to launch raids against the natural health products companies again. The FDA is on a rampage, according to Jonathan Emord. One of FDA Commissioner Margaret A. Hamburg's first acts was to reverse a Bush administration policy that forbade FDA district officers from taking unilateral enforcement action against a regulatee without first obtaining the consent of the FDA's chief counsel office. But the message that Hamburg has now sent is clear: go on the march and enforce FDA regulations with zeal. Within the agency, bureaucrats are frustrated by funding limitations and management directions to avoid action except to cases of perceived necessity. But they're now flush with new money because of the Obama administration are making up for lost time. Dr. Hamburg wants to be known as the FDA enforcer, and this we certainly would have expected. Let's see if there's any good news. It depends on your point of
view. You're right ahead.
Depends on your point of view, but there's a reason why the Afghan surge of men and money won't be temporary. It's going to be good news for Afghanistan and bad news for U.S. taxpayers. But the BBC reported this week that Afghanistan's President Hamid Karzai has been warned it will take 15 years before the country will be able to pay for the cost of its own security forces. And, of course, without drug money, Afghanistan will never have the money to be self-sufficient. They have no tax base except for drugs. After talks with visiting Secretary of Defense Robert Gates, Karzai said he hoped the U.S. and international community would continue funding them. Mr. Gates assured him that the U.S. would not turn away from Afghanistan and abandon it. Gates warns the U.S. may have to bankroll Afghanistan for 20 more years. There you have it in black and white. So much
how many trillions of dollars
is this
going to cost us? And how many more American boys are going to die senselessly in a war we're not even trying to win, because we're financing the Pakistani government that's financing Pakistani intelligence that finances the Taliban and Al-Qaeda? When are the American people going to wake up to the fact that this is a great diversion? There's no way we can win a war in Afghanistan. All we'll do is inflame the Muslim people even more. And, of course, I think our troops are there. And if we do go to war with Iran, they'll be targeted too. And then, heaven help us, we'll be involved in another major war, which we cannot afford. And as all great empires before, will be destroyed by bankruptcy, both moral and financial.
Well, you know, part of the problem, of course, is that we have as many military contractors there in Afghanistan as we do troops. So the real troop level of and burden on American taxpayers is double the 100-some thousand troops we've got there. And there's only the appearance of discipline and military contractor misconduct. The State Department will not renew the contract of a security company that was embroiled in the scandal. It was Armor Group, where they had a drunken party with sexual hazing of their newer people within the company there. And it was basically an orgy on taxpayers' expense. And, of course, it got out, and so the group is not having their contract renewed. But now the State Department announced that even though the contract expires in June, and remember, that's over 6 months away. And it has automatically received a 6 month extension to allow the contract to be put up to new bids. Well, what's wrong with putting the contract up for bids now, Dr. Stan? I mean, we're 6 months away. This is just an excuse to give the appearance of discipline. But in fact, Armor Group will simply be allowed to bid on other contracts elsewhere and will not be sanctioned for this. Nathan Hodge, comments, in many respects, it's a repeat of the Blackwater conundrum in Iraq. As I noted back in September, he says, Jay Blackwater had its operating license revoked by the Iraqi government after its guards were accused of killing civilians. But its aviation services contract in Iraq was still extended by the State Department nearly 2 years after the incident. And Blackwater was given, just like Armor Group, was given all kinds of other contracts in Afghanistan, primary contractor there, as well as in Pakistan, which it has secret contracts. Not to mention, of course, what I covered last week is that Blackwater ended up being a CIA front. Now, I happen to believe that every private military contractor is a front for CIA black operations, because simply you cannot get into the business of being a private military contractor unless you have CIA insider contacts. None of us could go down to the ATF and say, I want to start a private military contractor company, and I want permission, you know, to have all of these automatic weapons and military rockets and airplanes and helicopters and all of these sensitive gear that Blackwater and Triple Canopy and these others have. They just laugh in your face. But
Private mercenary army that's controlled by our invisible government. Parts of a private military army, mercenary army controlled by an invisible government that can be used against feigned enemies in Afghanistan, or one day, I fear, may be used against the American people. But go right ahead.
Well, I think so too, Dr. Stan. I think that's the real reason long term that you have this. I mean, on several levels, the United States has always done illegal acts, and they've run into problems when they have to get military pilots to fly illegal missions where they're transferring drugs like they did in the Iran-Contra scandal and flying them into MENA. They get whistleblowers. And with military contractors, they don't.
Oh, we're out of time, Joel. God bless. We'll talk to you later. Thanks very much for being with us. Our guest, Joel Skousen, will be right back.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Tom Phillips, founder of the Green Herb.
All of God's people have a ministry, and it's a trick of our enemy to keep God's people sick and worn out to hinder their ability to minister. We are often judgmental toward people who are addicted to booze, cigarettes, and drugs, but we at the Green Herb have found that most of God's people are unknowingly addicted to the two most addictive products in America, sugar and soda pop. If you have a sickness or disease, or if you're just tired a lot, the Green Herb has an herbal product that is formulated just for you, and it's just $15.95. Come by the Green Herb, located in Wheat Ridge, Colorado, on the I-70 Frontage Road North, 1 mile west of Kipling, or call 888-765-HERB. That's 888-765-4372. Or go to our website, www.thegreenherb.com, and be sure to listen to the Green Herb Show with Linda and Dr. Cass every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on KHNC.
This is George Flynn of SelfDefenseGuns.com. Our concealed carry classes meet the training requirements to obtain a Colorado or Wyoming concealed carry permit, as well as non-resident Utah and Florida. We feel very strongly that ladies should exercise their right to carry and protect themselves and their loved ones. That's why our Annie Oakley special allows any student to bring a lady to our classes for free. Visit SelfDefenseGuns.com or call 970-622-2091. That's 970-622-2091.
Keen Research and Development at 1309 Alexandria Street in Lafayette reminds us that nothing ruins a holiday celebration like a friend or a loved one who gets into an accident after a party. During this special time of year, let's make an early resolution not to let a loved one drive if they've had a bit too much of those holiday spirits. That's from Barry and his family and staff at Keen Research and Development, where they're always working to make our area a safer place to live, work, and raise a family. That's your friends at Keen Research and Development, 1309 Alexandria Street in Lafayette. If you've had your hand on the bottle, keep your foot off the throttle and have a safe and happy holiday season.
Well, Dr. Stan back here. I hope you enjoy Joel Skelton. I always enjoy Joel's commentary. He's totally dedicated to what's going on and a very astute observer. Well, I think today or Monday or Tuesday will be the last times you'll hear me talk about our special offer to get a case of my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. We're just about fulfill the pledges. We're doing real well. I'm very pleased. And it depends upon the response we get this weekend from our weekend program. Certainly by Tuesday we will discontinue our offer to get a case of my book, 60 copies of Brotherhood of Darkness for $250 each. And of course this is pre-publication. This is how we're raising the funds to get the book published. So if you'd like to have a weapon to use in this spiritual battle to get people to understand the true nature of the enemy. There is a conspiracy against God. The thing that motivates all of these groups, Trilateral Commission, Bilderbergers, Council on Foreign Relations, Club of Rome, Skull and Bones, Bohemian Grove, and the whole kit and caboodle of all of these organizations certainly is a worldwide Luciferian movement. There really are people out there who worship Lucifer. So if you'd like to have a vehicle of projecting this to others, that's what my book is really about. You can get a case of the books, $149.95 plus $28 for shipping and handling. They're shipped out of Kansas, and they'll be shipped as soon as we have them printed, and I hope within a week or so we'll start our printing. So if you want to get a case of books, and it'll be a good long while, if ever we make it this offer again, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927 and just get a case of books at $250 a book, and you can sell them at $12.95 on Amazon or eBay or wherever you want to, or you can lend them out and give them away, but the most important thing is we reach as many people as we can in the time that's allotted to us. So give us a call, 1-800-544-8927. You'll help us, and you'll be helped because a vehicle, if you can get people to read the book, hopefully it will change their lives. Then, of course, is the H1N1 epidemic is a non-event. Why, certainly the number of new cases, according to the CDC, has fallen off dramatically, but they still want to vaccinate everybody for a disease they're immune to. Why would you do that? Why would you vaccinate people if people have lifelong immunity? Why to do harm? Obviously, because, of course, you stimulate autoimmune disease, chronic disability, chronic fatigue type of thing. Chronic fatigue is simply another manifestation of autoimmune disease and altered immune system and priming people's system, so they'll be allergic for the rest of their lives and maybe they'll have an anaphylactic response. My son was incapacitated, has been incapacitated for years by all the vaccines he took within the military, and they almost died on a number of occasions from respiratory collapse because of this. When he first came home in 1994, we spent half our time at the hospital with him in intensive care because of the response to the vaccines. And this is what they're doing with this massive program. And they're simply lying. They go, oh, my goodness, isn't this wonderful? And they know what the vaccination program's going to do. You need to get our DVD and this CD-ROM by Dr. David Ayoub. It's called Autism Berkeley, the Global Vaccine Agenda. The other DVD, Vaccines and Brain Development. So, until Monday, pray for Radio Liberty.
Now you can reach the American Freedom Network at our new P.O. Box, 1750 Johnstown, Colorado, 80534, or online at AmeriFree.com.
This is George Flynn of Words of Freedom. KHNC listeners are painfully aware of the forces that have brought our economy to the state it's in. We want financial advice from experts who understand what's really going on. The iMoneyCoach.com team has put all the knowledge they use to coach successful people and businesses into a 10-course training program for only a fraction of the cost. Thousands of dollars of training materials and videos for under $200. At iMoneyCoach.com, you'll get the knowledge you need to change your life for the better. iMoneyCoach.com.
The Beth Messiah Congregation.